complicated. Okay, so we're up to the Gemara and Afdala Doma base. We've been learning the Machlekes Yesh Eim LeMikra or Yesh Eim LeMaseiris. If you remember, we had on Amud Aleph four different Machlekesim, which seem to revolve all about this subject of Yesh Eim LeMikra, Yesh Eim LeMaseiris. And it all started with how to learn the word Yarashiun with a Vav or without a Vav, etc., etc., etc. Problem was, the Gemara asked eventually that we have a pasuk in the Torah that says, Leis Sevashal Gedi B'chalev Imoi, and nobody in the world seems to dispute that the correct understanding is Leis Sevashal Gedi, which means Cholov, not Chalev. That would seem to suggest, therefore, that really there is no Machlekes at all, and that everybody agrees that Yesh Eim LeMikra. So the Gemara on the top line said, you're right. Everybody holds Yesh Eim LeMikra. We're now revisiting all of the machloekesim that we've mentioned so far. In other words, if we are to accept that actually everybody holds Yesh Eim LeMikra, as is proven by the fact that we all agree there's an issa called Bosa B'cholov and not Bosa B'cheilev. So if that's the case, then every single machloekes that we mentioned on Aleph needs now to have a new interpretation. So we need to go through them one by one to explain that everybody holds. Really, everybody holds that Yesh Eim LeMikra. And for some reason, each particular place, there is a specific drosha in that particular parasha, which would explain why that's an exception to the rule. So number one, Yarshiun. The Gemara explained that whilst essentially everybody agrees that Yesh Eim LeMikra, and if Yesh Eim LeMikra, we should all agree that Yarshiun is in the plural. But the Gemara already explained that there's different ways of interpreting that word. We're not going to get involved again. And therefore, in the final analysis, whether you have to have three Dayanim or five Dayanim is actually not, as we thought, dependent on Yesh Eim LeMikra versus Yesh Eim LeMaseiris. Rather, everybody holds Yesh Eim LeMikra, and there happens to be a particular drosha which is local and specific to that pasuk. The next one was Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz. If you remember, on Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz discussed the whole principle of Shvuayim and Shivim, and once again told us that even though it says Shivim, but actually you read it Shvu'ayim, which means you go with Yesh Eim LeMikra. So the Gemara told us over here, that's quite true. Nobody disagrees. Nobody disagrees. In that particular case, we didn't actually have explicitly anybody who opposed Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz, and therefore we can quite happily say that Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz indeed goes with the Mikra. That gives us the conclusion that the understanding is not Shivim, rather Shvu'ayim. And nobody disagrees. Nobody disagrees because we're all on the same page. Yesh Eim LeMikra. So we now move forward to numbers 3, 4, and 5. What were numbers 3, 4, and 5? Numbers 3 were the whole concept of how many matonos on the Mizbeach must one have in order to bring about a kapora. And on Amud Aleph, we thought that it's all dependent on Yesh Eim LeMikra, chronos, etc. Number 4 was the subject of sukkah. How many walls do you have to have in a sukkah? And we thought that's also dependent on Yesh Eim LeMikra Maseiris, depending on how you read the word sukkos. And number 5 was the concept of how much dam coming from two dead bodies must one have in order to be metame. And we thought that's also dependent on the above, based on the reading of the word nefoshos, etc. So if we've just established that actually there is no machlekes, and everybody holds Yesh Eim LeMikra, so therefore we have work on our hands. We now have to revisit, as mentioned, all of those machlokes and explain why actually they are not dependent on Yesh Eim LeMikra versus Maseiris. Now, we have a little bit of a complicated passage of Gemara coming up. We're going to try and do this quickly without getting stuck into all the nitty-gritty of the various droshes. So we're on the fifth line of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, second word, Beis Hillel. If you remember, very brief reminder, Beis Shammai said that we had those three words, if you remember, Kronos, Kronos, Kronos. If you read them as in the Mikra, then we're going to understand that they are to be understood in the plural. So Kronos is double, Kronos is double, Kronos is double three times two is six. Now, obviously, there are no six Kronos to the Mizbeach. So Beis Shammai said, the way that you break up the number six is four and two. What does that mean, four and two? That lechatchila, you've got to have the matanos going on four sides of the Mizbeach, but leikuva, two. So as far as Beis Shammai is concerned, if you sprinkle on the Mizbeach less than four matanos, then b'di'evad that will be okay. But if it's less than two matanos, then the kapara will not be brought about. So here comes the big question. Why did Beis Hillel disagree? What did Beis Hillel hold? That it, rather than four versus two, it's actually three versus one. In other words, according to Beis Hillel, two is not the magic number. One is a magic number. One is the magic number. You only have to have one matana on the Mizbeach to be le'ikuva. If you remember, the Gemara explained, there's no way in the world that you can have the kapara without any matanis at all. You can't get away scot-free. But at least one matana. So we're trying to work out. Beis Shammai says two matanis. We know where that comes from. Four and two. Where did Beis Hillel get the magic number one? Now, on Amud Aleph, we understood that comes about because he holds Yesh Eim L'Mesayres and he reads the Psukim differently, etc., etc., etc. But remember, we're no longer going with that. We're now going with the fact that everybody agrees Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Well, if everybody agrees that Yesh Eim L'Mikra, Kronos, 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 that gets you to six. So, L'Chaira Beis Shammai is right. Four and two. Two is Le'ikuva. So where does Beis Hillel get this new halacha called number one? You only need one matana. And the answer must be, according to this new understanding, that whilst he agrees essentially, under normal circumstances, he agrees at Yesh Eim L'Mikra, but in this particular parasha, there is a specific drasha that teaches us that you only need one matana. Okay, what is that specific drasha? So the Gemara says, Beis Hillel. How does Beis Hillel get to the conclusion that you only need one matana? Says the Gemara, the Tanya, because we have a braisa that says as follows. V'kipir, v'kipir, v'kipir. It says the word kapara three times. So clearly there's some extra words in the psukim over here, which l'chayra are available for droshes. So the Gemara says, mipnei hadin. What does that mean, mipnei hadin? So look at Rashi on the first narrow line. V'chiper, 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 these are written with regard to different karbonis. B'seir nosi, we're not going to get involved. But those are three different types of karbonis. And each time this Torah emphasizes v'kipir. U'mashma desagi b'kaporo achas. And the implication of the pasuk is that you only need one kapora. What does it mean, one kapora? One matana on the mizbeach. Where is that implication? Says Rashi, one word. Kedem Mefarish, as we will soon explain. So Rashi is setting us up very neatly, i.e. the Gemara has already answered the question. How does Beis Hillel know that you only need one matana? The answer is because it says v'chiper, 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 period, end of sugya. So yes, he essentially agrees that Yesh Eim L'Mikra. You might therefore have expected him to understand the psukim just like Beis Shammai, Kronos, 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 six, 4 and 2, so you need 2? No. He has an extra drasha to tell you that the normal rule does not apply. And over here, you only need one matana, and that's all learned from the chiper being written 3 times. That's the answer. Now, of course, we don't understand that, and that needs explanation. So the rest of the Gemara is going to explain the drasha, but it's very important that we have this clear in our minds. We have, in fact, already answered the question. I hope that's clear to everybody. Beis Hillel derive somehow, we haven't yet understood how, but the headline is the Chippeh being written 3 times. That's his source. Now we have a job on our hands. Let's try and explain this. The Gemara says, Mepnei Hadin. Look at the next Rashi. Hutzrichu, it was necessary. Lichtoiv kulon. It was necessary to write them all, the Chippeh 3 times. Dei loy have a ksivi, because had they not been written time and time again, have a meisna midina, I would have brought meisnas to bring midina based on logic. The kulu matanois ma'akvi, period. Put a big period after the word ma'akvi, because Rashi says the other words, loigor, sinon, that's not our girsa. In other words, Rashi's setting us up beautifully over here. Had the Torah not written v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper time and time and time again, I would have thought, at least logic could have dictated, that all of the matanais, every single one, are la'ikuva. Remember, we're using this word le'ikuva again and again. So let's just remind ourselves of the translation. Le'ikuva means how many withhold, that's what it means, le'ikuva, withhold the kapora. How many are absolutely necessary? So now, we all agree that there are a certain amount of matanis that need to be done on the Mizbeach. Are all of them le'ikuva? Are some of them le'ikuva? So let's give an example. We know in the Torah it says on Sukkot you've got to shake lulav, esrog, hadassim, ve'arovos, 4 minim. If we were to be asked the question, and how many are le'ikuva, meaning, yes, you've got to shake 4, but how many of those are absolutely necessary to the extent that if you're missing, you have not been mekayim the mitzvah? And the answer is all 4 are le'ikuva. All 4 are le'ikuva. Over there, there's no principle of lechatchila 4, but b'dieved you can have less. You've got to have 4, and if you don't have 4, you're not yotze anything. And of course, we have several examples. Over here, based on the psukim, there is, however, a lechatchila and a b'dieved. Lechatchila, you have to have X amount of, whether it's 4 matanis. The question is, of those 4, are they all absolutely crucial to the extent that if you're missing any of them, you're not yotze? Or perhaps not. So Rashi says, and again, this is all to explain the headline, I would, based on logic, have proposed a very solid argument that all of the matanais are le'ikuva, just like all dalad minim are le'ikuva.
Rav, how do we explain that? The fact that all of these matanas are for different types of offerings.
Every single carbon, at least with regard to the ones that we're talking about, they're all different types of carbon chatos. So they all belong to one happy family. They all need 4 matanas. The question is, each one of them is 4 the critical number, or that's just a din lechatchila? But perhaps b'dieved, we could actually suffice with less than 4.
And you couldn't have learned that by saying with the chaper once?
Right, that's the Gemara I'm going to explain later on. Quite right. So if you have a 4-cornered beged that you're wearing at the moment with tzitzis in all 4 corners, again, if we were to ask ourselves the question, on how many corners is there a mitzvah to put tzitzis? And the answer is 4. And how many are le'ikuva? 4. There's no lechatchila and b'di'eved with regard to tzitzis. Neither is there with regard to Arba minim, as we mentioned before. How many days must you celebrate Pesach for? 7. And how many ale ikuva? 7. You can't say, well, b'dieved, I'll do 6. But over here, based on the psukim, as we're going to see in a moment, there is room to suggest that le'ikuva is less than the original number. So, based on logic, and this is what Rashi means when he says, mipnei hadin. Din is a confusing word. Why is din a confusing word? Because we normally translate din as a halacha, as a judgment, dinim. But actually, in the Lashon of Gemara, din means logic. Remember, we've had the principle before, ein oinshin min hadin. So, mipnei hadin, based on logic, we would have thought that all 4 are le'ikuva. That's what Rashi says. Look at that Rashi again. Hutzruchu lichtoiv kulam. The Torah had to write all those words, v'chiper, 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 every single time. All of this will be explained. De'iloi, because if not, comma. Sorry, de'iloi have a ksivi, because had they not been written 3 times? Have a meisna midinha, I would have bought on logic the kulu matanis ma'akvi, that all of the matanis are absolutely ikuva. Okay, so now we begin. Look at the Gemara. It's a little bit complicated. Let's hope we can explain this clearly. The haloi din hu. Remember, din we're not translating as judgment, but rather as logic. The haloi din hu. Surely logic would dictate the following. Ne'emar domim lemato. The word domim or dam, blood, is written further down in the Torah. Ve'ne'emar domim lemalo. So too, above, in an earlier parasha, and that's with regard to our korbanos that we're dealing with, chatois, it also says dam. So doesn't logic dictate that I could say, ma domim hu amurim lemato, just like the dam, which is mentioned later on, further down. Le shenosnon b'matona achas. If you just perform one matona, kipeir, it would bring about a kapora. Af domim hoamurim lamalo, shenosnon b'matona achas, also kipeir. What's going on over here? What's being referred to? So again, I want to fill you in on all the Rashis, because otherwise we're going to get confused. As mentioned before, v'chiper, 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 Rashi gave all the examples, are talking about korbonos chatos. Different types of chatos. We know there's different types of korbonos, and each one has many, many subcategories. So there's different types of chatos. The so'ir of the nasi, and the so'ir of the yochid, and the keves of the yochid, which are all brought for different reasons, which we're not going to go into now, that's not our subject. That is the dam that's written lemalo. That's earlier on written in the Torah. It's actually written in Parshas Vayikra. There is another parasha of chatos, but not like the korbanos we have been dealing with, which are all different types of animals, like a so'ir and a keves, but rather we have a parasha called chatos ha'oif. What Avera warrants a chatos oif is not our subject for today. So that particular chatos is written lemato. That's later on. That's in Vayikra Perek Hey. We're dealing with the chatos of an animal, which is Vayikra Perek Dalet. There is dam written in the second chatos. There is dam written in the first chatos. The dam in the second chatos, definitely we happen to know, based on a drosha written over there, which is not our subject again, we know that matono achas suffices. So now we can fill in the missing box. How many matonois are necessary in the dam of the karbonois written lema'alo, the chatois of an animal? So wouldn't logic dictate they're both chatos, they both got dam, and if in the second parasha one would suffice, so surely one would suffice also in our chatois, even though it's not an oif. That's true. It's an animal, but surely we have a principle of gzeira shava or comparison. Therefore, that's why logic at this stage of the game, l'chaira, we could put forward a very strong argument that one matana is le'ikuva. Again, look at the Gemara. V'haloi dinhu. Surely there is a logical argument that could be proposed for the following. Ne'mar domim l'mato. V'ne'mar domim l'malo. The word dam is written both further on with regard to chatos oif and also l'malo chatos behema. Ma domim hu amurim l'mato shenosnon b'matona achas kiper. Just like the second parasha of dam, chatos oif. We know that if you do only one matana, that suffices. So wouldn't I say, based on logic, af domim wamurim lemalo, so to the first parasha would be exactly the same. If shenosnon b'matana achas, kiper, that would be enough. That sounds a very reasonable argument. Problem is that there's a counter argument. Says the Gemara, oi, klach lederech zu. Maybe go upon this derech. You've suggested derech number one, which is very logical, very plausible, nothing wrong with the svara. The problem is we have a counter argument. Klach, let us veer into a different direction. Okay. I've got a logic, says the Gemara, to tell you that all of the matonis are necessary. You just brought me a logic to say that what? That one, actually there's a counter logic to say maybe all of them are necessary. Why? Rather than comparing it to the dam which is written lamato, let's make a different comparison. Ne'mar domim bachutz. We're dealing with korbonos that are brought bachutz. What's bachutz? Outside. Remember there was a mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash and there's another one in. V'ne'mar domim bifnim. But there is an equivalent, also chatos. Also chatos. Remember, we've got to keep local in chatos. There's no point comparing different korbonos. So we have another chatos which is brought bifnim. You look at Rashi. Rashi gives you all the details. Par koyin mashiach and helam dov. Again, all different types of karbonis, not our subject.
This is not specifically chatos.
So Rashi says that the chatois are chatois pnimiois.
Okay.
But you're quite right. We're going to bring in Osham to the picture in a moment.
Yeah.
So I've got the dam, which is concerning karbonis, which is brought bachutz. I've also got dam concerning karbonis, which are bifnim. What does bifnim mean? Inside on the mizbeach hazov, on the golden mizbeach inside. Oh, so maybe that should be my benchmark, says the Gemara. Ma domim ho amurim bifnim. The dam which are mentioned bifnim, chiser achas mimatonis. If one of the matonis are missing, loy osa v'loy klum, you've done absolutely nothing. Everyone is necessary. So maybe that should now be my benchmark. And maybe I should say, af domim ho amurim bachutz. So to the dam which is mentioned bachutz, once again, chiser achas matonis loy osa klum. You haven't done anything, you've got to do all of them. So where are we at the moment? At a total impasse. We're completely stuck at the moment. Why are we completely stuck? Because we have two possible comparisons, and we don't know which one is the correct one. I've got the chatois, which are outside, of animals. Should I compare them to a chatos ha'oif? If I do that, what will my conclusion be? You only need one matana. If I, however, compare them to the chatois bifnim, then I need all of them. So which one is the correct logic? I'm stuck. I've got two opposing logics. The Gemara, by the way, does not dispute either of them. Each one is perfectly plausible. I just don't know which one the Torah expects me to compare to. So the Gemara hasn't yet given up. Let's work out, says the Gemara, which is the more plausible comparison. Says the Gemara, Nire lemi doime. Let's have a look, which one is this more similar to? Because if I've got logic A and logic B, so l'chayra, Svara would tell me that what? The correct comparison would be to the parasha, which is most similar to the one that we're dealing with. Says the Gemara says, well, donin chutz mechutz. Wouldn't it be logical to compare chutz and chutz? Chatois, which are bachutz, and chatois, which are bought bachutz. But v'ein donin chutz mipnim. But to compare chutz and pnim, that would seem to be a much further type comparison. So you told me in logic number two, let's learn chutz from pnim. Gemara, but one second, maybe logic number one is much more plausible, because in logic number one, you're comparing like with like, because both of them were bachutz. So wouldn't it be more reasonable to compare chutz and chutz as opposed to chutz and pnim? Says the Gemara, wonderful argument. But once again, there's a counter argument. Oi, says the Gemara, klach lederech zu. We had this phrase before. Maybe go along this particular path of logic. Donin chatos v'dalad chronis. Let's compare the parasha that we're dealing with, which is chatos and dalad chronis. Me chatos v'arba chronis. From the equivalent, which is the pnim, which is also very, very similar to what we're dealing with, which is a chatos and dalad chronis. But va'al yoichiach ze, but don't prove it from something which is not a chatos, as Avraham mentioned, v'dalad chronis. So each of the two arguments has a plus and a minus. On the one hand, I'd much rather compare chutz and chutz and not chutz and pnim. On the other hand, maybe I would prefer to compare chutz and pnim because they're both chatos and they're both dalad chronis. So in the bottom line, we do not know what the halacha is. There are arguments and counter-arguments and once again counter-arguments. Every which way you look, there is a logic that can dictate either that all of the matonis are necessary or that just one of the matonis is necessary. So in the final analysis, we cannot, therefore, go with logic. We can't go with logic. Why? Because every argument we've put forward is a counter-argument. So eventually the Torah has to now step in. Says the Gemara, Talmud Loimar. That's why the Torah has to write. V'chiper, v'chiper. V'chiper. Why is the Torah writing V'chiper three times? Again, how many matonis are necessary in the first instance? Four. So based on logic, like we said, it can go either way. Maybe all four are necessary for the kapara. Maybe only one is necessary for the kapara. I don't know. I need the psukim to teach me directly. Says the Gemara, the psukim do teach us directly. Because every time the Torah has written the extra word v'chiper, what are we in fact doing? we are knocking out one of the matanis. So how many do you need in the first instance? Four. That will bring about the kapara. But then the Torah writes, there's an extra word, v'chiper. Ah, that extra word is telling you you can knock out one of them. You don't need four, you only need three. And then v'chiper is written again. Okay, so we'll knock out another one, we're down to two. And then the v'chiper is written the third time. So we are down to one. So the extra three words, v'chiper, 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 each extra word knocks off one matana from the original number of four, such that you get from four to three, from three to two, and in the final line, from two to one. Look at the Gemara. Talmud loyma v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. Mipnei hadin. Because we had the din, what does that mean? That logic that suggested maybe you need all four, comma. So you should know, says the Torah, quote unquote, kiper. What does that mean? Afal pisha leinosan elo shloisha, even if you only put three. Ah, but then the Torah writes once again, quote unquote, kiper, another drosha. Afal pisha leinosan elo shtaim. And then it writes again, quote unquote, kiper, afal pi shloi nosan elo achas, period. So we have answered our question. What was our question that we began today with? Beis Shammai says you need two matonis. Why? Yesh em lemikra, chronos, 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 that's six. So it's four. And two. Four is lechatchila, but two is leikuba. And what did Beis Hillel say? No, you only need one matana. How did you know that? So on Ahmed Aleph, we thought it's because he held Yesh Eim Lemesayres, but we've fallen away from that. So what is the Gemara's final answer? You're right, he agrees that Yesh Eim Lemikra. So how does he know that only one is necessary? The answer is because we tried working it out with logic. Logic just pulled us in one direction and then the other and then backwards and forwards, and we could not prove anything. There might well be a logic to dictate all four are necessary. So how did Beis Hillel know that only one is necessary? And the answer is v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. If the Torah writes three extra words, then that knocks off three of the four matonis.
If we eliminated the possibility of logic, the chiper, the chiper, the chiper is what? Drasha?
Drasha, 100%. It's not a logic. Should we compare it to this? Should we compare it to that? I've got no idea which is the correct comparison. Like the Gemara said, logically, you can compare it to A or compare it to B. Each side of the argument is perfectly plausible. So I can't base it on logic. So I need the Torah to write extra words for me to teach me. That's exactly what the Torah did. The Torah wrote v'chiper three times, three extra words, which means, yes, you need four in the first instance, but I'll knock off one, I'll knock off another, I'll knock off another. Three extra words, four minus three, and that's how Beis Hillel knew that you only need one matana. Not, as we thought on Ahmed Aleph, because he holds Yesh Eim Lemesayres, but rather because he's got three extra words, and that's how he knows the magic number one. Okay, we run out of time. Mr. Hashem, tomorrow we'll carry on, but it's a beautiful piece of Gemara.